right. Well, good morning, everybody. It is good to see everybody here. We've got a good crowd this morning. We've got several that have been sick that are able to be back with us. I know we've got several visitors I've had the opportunity to meet this morning, and we're grateful for your presence. But I think all of us would recognize that it's a difficult morning. We got news that we knew was coming about Sister Doty, but emotions are high this morning, I think. And I know our family's only been here a short time, but even in the short time we've been here, we can see the impact that Vince and Doty have had on this congregation and in the lives of people. And so what I'd like to do before we get into our lesson is just go to God in prayer together this morning, okay? Would you bow with me? Heavenly Father, there's times that we come together to worship you, and we come with hearts that are just overflowing with joy and goodness and thanksgiving. But Father, there are other times that we come to worship, and like this morning, we either receive news or we come with the news already there that makes our hearts heavy. Father, that pulls our minds in just different directions and causes pain and hurt in our lives. And Father, many of us find ourselves in that situation this morning. And Father, help us to realize and draw comfort in knowing that regardless of how we come emotionally, that this is where we need to be, Father. That this is a place of healing and comfort. Father, it's a place where we can bring our sorrows, where we can bring the things that weigh on us, that we can lay them at your feet. Father, that we can strengthen each other as a body of your people, and that we can stand united before you and allow you to provide your grace and mercy and love in our lives. And Father, we ask for that this morning. We pray that you would look down upon this family here. Father, we lift up to you Vince this morning, as we know that there are many emotions that he must be dealing with right now. And Father, as a body of believers and of your people, we can rejoice and we believe with everything in us that Doty is at a place of rest. Father, that she is experiencing the very things that we talk about and that we long for and that we hope for, and the things that Jesus provided as a result of his death on the cross and his resurrection. That Father, even though death is painful, that he conquered it. And Father, it's not the end, that for her it's the beginning of a relationship that will be complete and whole. And Father, the things that have caused her pain physically or no more. And Father, she is experiencing your presence, and she is experiencing things that we can only dream of and hope for, but we know and believe are real. And Father, we ask you to bless Vince, their children. Father, we ask you to bless this congregation as so many hurt this morning. Father, we pray that you would be with us now and that we might find some form of comfort from your word. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. All right, I'm going to ask for a little bit of grace this morning. I had a lesson planned that I was going to preach this morning. But to be honest, it just didn't feel right under the circumstances. So what I'm going to ask you to do is just open your Bibles with me to Psalm 116. And some of you have longed for shorter sermons. You may get it this morning, all right? This is not planned per se. But I'd like for us to maybe go to Psalm 116 together, and let's read it, and we'll maybe make some observations from that text, and then hopefully we can make some applications together that might provide some comfort for us this morning and help us as we think about Vince and Doty and just us as a church family. Psalm 116. We don't know for sure who to attribute this psalm to. It's generally thought it's a psalm of David. So we're going to work under that assumption as we think about this psalm together for the next few minutes. We're going to work under the assumption that David penned this particular psalm, but we don't know the circumstances that necessarily fueled, if you will, his writing of this particular psalm. But when you think about the life of David, if there was ever a person that lived that kind of had a tale of two lives, it's David. You think about David's life as a young shepherd boy up until his sin with Bathsheba. And he lived a life that, by and large, had been blessed by God just in numerous ways. And we see a man that truly put his faith and his trust and his hope in God in every aspect of his life. He looked to God for guidance. He put God's Word at the center of his life. But like all of us, he, at the end of the day, was just a man. And he was susceptible to temptation and to sin. And in a moment of lust, he gave in to that lust, and it led ultimately to his sexual sin with Bathsheba. And from that point on, the second half of his life was a life that suffered the consequences of that sin. And even though he continued to be a man that would seek repentance and seek God in his life and strive to follow God, we see a life that was plagued by difficulty, family difficulty, and just struggles in many ways. So as you think about David's life, there are really any number of circumstances that could have led to him penning Psalm 116. But I want us to think about a few things together. Let's start reading in verse 1. I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy, because He inclined His ear to me. Therefore, I will call on Him as long as I live. The snares of death encompass me. The pangs of Sheol lay hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. If we assume that David wrote this particular psalm prior to his sin with Bathsheba, we can think of several circumstances in his life where he was fleeing from Saul and Saul's wrath as Saul strived to kill him. And we can think about maybe the distress in his life as he thought about how there were these snares of death that encompassed him and how he suffered distress and anguish. And we can picture David in those moments going to God in prayer and bringing those things that weighed down upon his shoulders and giving them to God. Or maybe if it was in the second half of his life, we can think about the family turmoil he suffered. We can think about the loss of the child that was the result of his sin with Bathsheba. We can think about his own sons that rebelled against him and just the distress that resulted in his family relationships. And we can think about how that weighed on his shoulder. And once again, we can picture David taking those cares to God in prayer. And then notice what we read in verse 5. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, He saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, even when I spoke, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my alarm, all mankind are liars. You think about David. You think about how he viewed God and his response to his prayers. David understood God's grace and mercy and righteousness perhaps about as well as anyone who's ever lived. He certainly experienced God's grace and mercy, didn't he? There was nothing that David did in and of himself that made him worthy to be king of Israel. In fact, if we go back and were to read the story of how he was selected to be king, all of his brothers, by all earthly accounts, would have seemed to have been better choices than David. But yet it was David that God chose, because God saw David's heart. And there was something inside of David that God recognized that made him be the one that God chose to be the king. So David had been the recipient of grace and mercy, but yet David had also been the recipient of God's righteousness too, hadn't he? What is God's righteousness? What does it mean? Well, a part of God's righteousness is how He deals with sin. And certainly David felt God's righteousness in how He dealt with sin. But even as He dealt with David's sin, God extended him grace and mercy even through that situation, didn't He? He suffered consequences physically in his family and in his kingdom and in the relationships, but yet he was still able to keep his relationship ultimately with God, wasn't he? He was able to be restored back to God, to have that sin forgiven, even through the consequences, so there was never a point in David's life where he didn't experience God's grace and mercy, even as he experienced his righteousness. And ultimately, through it all, David simply had to say that the Lord has dealt bountifully with him. You think about that. You think about the second half of David's life. You think about David as he sat there and mourned the loss of his child. But yet, as David could reflect back on any aspect of that, he was able to say that God had dealt bountifully with him. We'll think maybe a little bit about how that might be here in just a moment. He says that because of that, because of the fact that I'm still here, and I know that God has dealt bountifully with me, and I've experienced His grace, and I've experienced His mercy, and I've experienced His righteousness, it's almost as if David stands tall and says, I'm going to walk in the land of the living. You see, whenever David penned this, he recognized that God wasn't through with his life yet, and there were still things that David could do to live before a nation of people, to live before his family in a way that represented God. Verse 12, what shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people. What in essence is David doing here? He's worshiping. But he's not worshiping privately in his own home. David says, here's how I'm going to respond to all of this. Through the difficulties, through me lifting everything that I have on my heart up to God and knowing that He hears me, to the way that God has dealt with me, all I'm left to do is come and worship Him in the presence of all His people. This is a corporate form of worship. And this isn't the only place that we read this in this particular psalm. Verse number 18, I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people. Almost like two bookends. David says, no matter what the circumstances are that I find myself in life, no matter what I'm experiencing, no matter what the physical state I might be going through might mean to me, I know that I have a God that hears me. I know that I have a God that will deal graciously with me, that will extend His mercy to me, that will be righteous in how He deals not only with me, but with all of mankind. And as a result, I can stand up and I can live in front of other people. And the way that I'm going to respond to all that God's done for me is I'm going to worship Him. Can't help but think about that this morning. And I can't help but wonder if maybe there's just not a part of God's grace and mercy at work even this morning in the thought of Dodie passing. The fact that we're here as a family of God's people to be together. The fact that Don and Mary are with Vince this morning. And I know over the course of this week, many of you sitting in this audience have gone and you've spent time with Vince. And you've sat at that bedside. And if you weren't able to go physically, I wouldn't even begin to guess how many prayers have been offered up this week on behalf of Vince and Dodie. And I can't help but think it's fitting that at a time like this, we're here together. And we're engaged in worship, even though our hearts are heavy. And there's some of you that I know are hurting in ways that I can't even understand, that you find it difficult even to have the words to sing, to engage in a prayer. But yet we're here to worship God and to lay it at His feet. And then notice verse number 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. O Lord, I am Your servant. I am Your servant, the son of Your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to You the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in Your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. You see, David's perspective on life. Let's work under the assumption for a moment that maybe David penned this psalm later in his life. After he had gone through many of the failures, after he had suffered as the consequence of his sin, you think David had come to appreciate what death meant in the eyes of God? You think about all the people that David had seen die in his life. Some enemies of God, some his own countrymen, fellow Jews, part of the nation of Israel. You think David understood how God viewed death as he mourned the loss of his son? You know, I'm often reminded at times like this, David penned these words without ever knowing the Messiah, without ever seeing the life of Christ, without ever being able to experience seeing God in flesh. You want to know how God feels in the presence of the death of one of His saints? How did Jesus react at the grave of Lazarus? I would say many of us maybe have often said that's the first verse we ever memorized because it's the shortest verse in Scripture. It's short, but it's powerful because it tells us something about God. It says Jesus wept at the death of somebody He loved and He cared about. Why? Because He hurt, but that was also the death of someone that was precious in the sight of the Lord. And not all tears are tears of sorrow. There are also tears of joy in understanding what the death of a Christian means. And maybe you've heard it said that maybe Jesus wept because He knew He was bringing Lazarus back. And He was bringing him back from something that was so great and wonderful because it was the very presence of God. And Lazarus had to come back to this earth and the things that it entails. But even David recognized how God viewed the death of one of His saints. And David simply says it's precious in the sight of the Lord. And David concludes by recognizing his own position in relationship to God. He's a servant. He talks about, again, the importance of worship, and he ends it with the simple phrase, praise the Lord. What are some things maybe you and I can take from this morning? Maybe some things that might give us some comfort, that might be a reminder to us of even why we're here as we gather together. The first thing I think is simply this: God hears us. God knows. As we are sitting here this morning and there's hurt for what's happening to Vince and just the pain that he's going through, there's the pain of loss from someone that has meant so much to this congregation, God hears. Even the things that we struggle to put into words, as our voices crack and as the tears start to come in, and maybe even as we're just at a loss because we want to have something to say and we just don't know what to say, God hears and He knows. And as David penned these words again, he penned them without having Jesus as a high priest. He served at a time when the priesthood was incomplete, we might say. It was complete for the time period, but you and I now, we come together, we talk to God, and we have a high priest, Jesus, that understands exactly what every one of us in this audience are feeling this morning. Every one of us. Some of you are rejoicing at knowing that Dodie is in a better place, that she's not suffering. Others are crying in tears because of the pain that Vince might be feeling or because of the own separation that you might be experiencing. Regardless of where you are in your emotions, Jesus understands. And He's talking on your behalf to God this morning. Certainly, as we think about us as a body of people this morning, we more than anybody else should appreciate God's grace and mercy, shouldn't we? Because it has been extended to all of us, as is evidenced even by our very presence here. We wouldn't be here doing what we're doing this morning if it wasn't because of God's grace and mercy extended to us. But one of the reasons that we can read verse number 15 of this psalm and say, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints, one of the reasons we can say that about Dodie, because she was one of His saints, is because we know that she responded to God's grace and mercy extended to her. We know that. And because of that, we don't have to worry. Vince doesn't have to worry. We can be sad of the physical separation, yes, and it hurts. It's painful. But because of God's grace and mercy, we know that the physical suffering Dodie went through is no more. we know that she gets to experience the presence of God in the way that He always designed. No sin, no pain. We know that because God's grace and mercy is real and His promises are true, because we have experienced Him in our own life, and we can go back even through the eyes of David and we can see that. And I think it's proper, even at a time like this, to come together and worship God. To pour our emotions out to Him. Isn't that in many ways what worship is? It's us being able to release our emotions to God. And at times that involves joy and thanksgiving and wonderful things, but at times it involves tears, and it involves heartache, and it involves hurt. But this is right where we should be as we come together as God's people this morning. And you know, it might be that you're sitting there and maybe you're hurting or you're experiencing things that are causing you pain that have nothing to do with maybe the things that we've been talking about as a church family in terms of Vince and Dodi. But you see, that's the beauty of God and His design. Regardless of why we're here, regardless of how we come here to express our love and our gratitude to God, to allow us as a family to encourage each other, to put our arms around each other, to comfort each other, to encourage each other, to remind each other of God's goodness and grace and mercy and righteousness at work in our own lives, and then to express our gratitude and thanksgiving to Him as He continues to work in the lives of each one of us here this morning. I wouldn't begin to pretend that I understand everything that you might be feeling this morning. As I said, we've been here a short time. And even in a short time, we feel the love of this family, and we've gotten to know Vince and even Dodi as much as we could in a way that we understand how special they are to this congregation. But maybe this morning, the most important thing for all of us to know is this. We are here, and we can have comfort because of Jesus. Because He did die on that cross. He experienced death in the same way that all of us will, as long as Jesus doesn't return. But see, here's the great thing, and this is the message that we want to proclaim to the world. He conquered death. He rose from the dead, even so that we might have to experience it physically, that we never have to experience it spiritually, that we never have to worry about our salvation. We don't ever have to worry about being separated from God. We don't have to wonder what comes next after this life. Yes, there's uncertainty with death because we've never experienced it. But there's a difference between being uncertain and being fearful. And God doesn't want us to be fearful. He told Timothy, "I've not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and might and strong will." And it's possible through the cross of Christ. So yes, our hearts can be heavy this morning. But while our hearts are heavy, we can also rejoice. We can rejoice in knowing that we serve a risen Savior. And that while we might experience separation here, there will come a day that if we will respond to Jesus in the cross, that we will all